Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kabaza, and for today, we are talking about, what's actually going on out there in the world. So much going on. Usually, we wait until Friday to talk about the economics, but there's so much going on that we just had to touch on what's going on a Wednesday, and particularly oil prices, because oil has really been affecting us as consumers and as businesses, for the last, half year or so, with fuel having recently touched 20 Rand. And now some predictions saying that we might see it go all the way up to 40 Rand, especially because of what's going on now with the Russia-Ukraine crisis, which has pushed up oil prices to new record highs. I think Brent crude crossed the $100 mark the other day for the first time since about 2014. And right now it's been playing around that 130, 140 range. Some people predicting it could go up to 150, 160. So we're going to be talking about that. And then also at the same time, we are in a new round of load shedding in South Africa. What does all of this mean? So to help us to unpack, where we're going, what all of this means, and what people should be looking out for, we are joined by Koketso Mano, who is an economist over at FNB. Koketso, greetings to you today.
Greetings, Mudiwa. Thank you for having me.
No. Thank you so much for being with us today. I think a good place for us to start, usually we want to know about the organizations that people come from, but FNB is one of those household names that everyone knows about. So rather, we can get straight into what we're here to talk about. Fuel at 40 Rand, is that a realistic thing? Is this on the realm of possibility, or are people panicking a bit too much with some of these predictions?
Yeah, Mudiwa, I mean, it's a very topical issue at the moment. I believe the issue around fuel prices really started to become center stage late last year already, as people started to grapple with the fact that fuel prices in South Africa would be breaching that 20 Rand mark. And already there were calls on government to do something to alleviate the pressure off of consumers and businesses. And so going into this period where we've been, confronted with this conflict between Russia and the Ukraine, and Russia being one of the top producers globally of oil, it has really raised concerns about where Brent crude oil prices could go. Right now, as you rightly said, we are dealing with, or we are confronting, prices around the $130 per barrel range. It has raised concerns about what that could mean for fuel prices locally. We get updates from the Central Energy Fund or the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. And what we see from that front is that currently, with just 8 days into this month, we're looking at around a 2.30 increase. So it's quite substantial. And that would put petrol prices at the pump close to 24 Rand, But I think all these estimates, we have to be aware they're very, very reliant on the assumptions that people make or analysts make with regards to Brent crude oil prices, where those prices could go. We're dealing right now with scenarios where we run oil price ranges around $150 per barrel. And it also is important to remember that there are assumptions on the rand as well, because that would also impact what kind of estimates you're getting on the fuel price. So let me start off with the oil price, right? I've already mentioned that Russia is one of the top producers. And yesterday, we heard from the United States president that they are going to sanction energy imports from Russia. So that will be something that continues to place upward pressure on oil prices going forward. However, we are cognizant that the U.S. is trying to look for, alternatives to fill in the gap where Russia may no longer provide oil prices. And they also did make a very important statement that not all countries are in a position to ban energy imports from Russia. So it's not going to be it's probably not going to be an immediate global decision or amongst the United States allies. However, it was important to see that the United States is taking that step to ban imports from Russia. But I just want to note that even before this official ban, seems as though importers were already trying to cut down on oil imports from Russia. So, you know, from a market perspective, they might already have been, you know, this pressure from sanctions to Russia may have already been priced in. So it's still, you know, touch and go with regards to how far, how much further oil prices can still run. That's one thing. The other thing is that, as I've mentioned, the U.S. is looking for other, you know, sources of oil or other imports or countries that could import oil. They could import oil from, and those include Venezuela, for example, Iran. We're not too sure how that deal is going to pan out, but that's a possibility as well. The other possibility is, you know, your OPEC producers, you know, they could also ramp up a little bit more oil on a monthly basis there, and that could help alleviate on a global scale the price of Brent crude oil. The U.S. also mentioned yesterday, the president also mentioned that domestically in the U.S., you know, there's still quite a bit of capacity that hasn't been tapped into, and there is that potential that the U.S. could also ramp up its oil production. So, you know, and pardon me, I forgot that they've also, you know, I believe it was last month that they announced that they will be releasing from the U.S. 30 million barrels of oil from the strategic reserve, and they would also be working in coordination with other countries that will also release another 30 million. So in total, it's about 60 million that has been released from the strategic reserve, also to alleviate oil price pressure. So in total, I mean, it's hard to say exactly where these prices are going to go. We definitely do view that the risk is to the upside, but it's important to note that there are these dampening effects that could come through, and maybe oil prices won't run as far as we may think that they will. So taking that into consideration, we are working with alternatives of around $150 per barrel. And in those alternatives, we get to petrol prices of around 27, 28 by the end of this year, you know, peaking closer to about 30, you know, in terms of a single month's price. So that the 40 would also probably be affected by what assumptions you make on the rand. I think you may have already noted that the rand has not run off as much as, you know, could have been perceived, given the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, especially given how the rand is mostly, you know, bulked together or used as some proxy for emerging market assets or currencies. So it usually is negatively affected when there are negative news from other emerging markets. But what we have seen is that there have been inflows into our asset markets. We have also seen our commodity prices lifting quite strongly, and that has all been supportive of the rand. So the rand has not rallied very much since the conflict. So we are not working with a strong or weak rand, a much depreciated rand assumption. And that's possibly how we're also, you know, remaining more around the 30 rand per liter mark when we're thinking about oil prices, at least for this year.
Okay, no, that's fine. And now, Koketso, with everything that you've just said, it sounds like there's a whole universe of items to think about when it comes to this oil issue. It's not a simple cut and dry or black and white type of matter that we are dealing with right now. So with all of that in mind then, one of the big questions that's coming from ordinary South Africans is to say, and even businesses, is to say, does government have any, you know, role to play? We understand that in a country like South Africa, there's usually a lot that's placed on government responsibility wise to help ease some of these pressures, because, you know, there's only so much that monetary policy could do, you know, interest rates, etc. When you're faced with oil, with fuel going from 20 rand to 30 rand, because that's you know, that's a price increase of a third. And if you look at it from the pandemic period, that's a more than 150% type of increase that you would have been seeing from there. So is it realistic to expect government to come in and, you know, maybe cushion the burden a little bit, Because if the US is releasing some of its strategic reserves, 30 million, etc., that's, you know, their own way of acting to reduce some of those pressures. Could we see similar action, you know, from South Africa in whatever way they might have some wiggle room to help consumers and businesses in South Africa?
Yeah. And I mean, we have already seen government making its attempts to alleviate some of that pressure, right? In the budget, the minister did mention that the fuel levy and the road accident levy, the roads accident fund would not be raised, you know, and I feel like that was some sort of, you know, a measure by government to try and alleviate some of the pressure of consumers and businesses with regards to the petrol price. The argument at this point is whether there couldn't be a reduction of that fuel levy and road accident fund with regards to what you pay at the fuel pump. That amount is about 6 rand jointly together. So, you know, government could maybe come into that front and try to reduce some of the pressure off of consumers. However, it is important to note that the Treasury is also on a mission to try and find fiscal sustainability. So by doing that, they would be reducing the amount of revenue that they have to work with. And we cannot forget that there is already some social pressure onto government to try and support households that are not in work right now, that have been severely affected by the pandemic and related lockdowns. So it's a very tricky and hard trade-off to make. We did see in the budget that the government is working towards fiscal sustainability and consolidation, and they view some of the revenue windfall that they got from miners related to the elevated commodity prices that we had last year, and that has supported the fiscus in reducing the deficit, but also supporting households through the SRE. Another measure that takes that you know, reduces the amount of revenue that government could generate. So yeah, it's a catch 22 at this point, but it is interesting to see that these didn't alleviate pressure at the pump.
Now, most certainly, we hope that, you know, they'll be able to extend some help, because like you said, it's a catch-22. There's only so much that government can do if we're going to be, you know, 100% honest about what's going on out there. They already have so much, you know, spending and subsidizing that they're already doing for South African consumers. So on the last point, because this is something that's affecting all of us right now, a new round of load shedding. Just your thoughts around everything that's going on, because it seems that things are escalating at the moment. We started off at stage 2 and now we're at stage 4, and I can imagine this is likely going to have some type of impact for consumers and businesses. I'm in Johannesburg right now and it's raining, you know, so, you know, one can imagine what rain plus having no electricity could mean for many South Africans out there.
Yeah, Mudiwa, that is a question that has been with us for some time. And I mean, from a forecasting perspective, we've always said, you know, that South Africa will, or South Africa's economic recovery will rely on the performance of our peer or trading partners. We have also mentioned that some of the headwinds that we consider when we're thinking about the economic recovery is definitely load shedding. You know, so load shedding is a very, very, I mean, electricity is a very important input in manufacturing and production, you know, in even providing services. So it affects a lot of industries across, you know, the economy, and it's always been, or has been for some time, you know, a great source of downward pressure to our economic growth forecasts. And that is something that we have put forward for quite some time, and it continues to be a risk and continues to present itself as a risk. As you've rightfully mentioned, we now move to stage 4, and that could have implications on how production and in general households sentiment, business and household sentiment develop as we go through this economic recovery. And I mean, it's coming to us at a point where we're also dealing with these elevated oil price pressures. You know, this is a global problem. Estimates of global growth right now are being downscaled. In simply, you know, in relation to the seeing very high natural gas prices and shortages there as well. So being one of our major trading partners, it's going to have an impact on what we think about growth locally. So it's becoming a general energy problem, and filtering it through to South Africa, it is affecting sentiment, we believe. We also think that, you know, a weaker economic environment will have very important implications for how we're able to get some of those jobs back that we lost during the lockdown or during the pandemic shock. So it's becoming a very big problem. And I think the other thing to consider is that, you know, these elevated oil prices have implications for demand, right? In what we call demand destruction, because these elevated oil prices could mean that people have less amount or less money to spend, or discretionary spending that they can do. So they can spend less on other goods and services besides these necessities, such as energy and food. And so that has implications for, you know, these other sectors of the economy as well. And I think it's important also from a business perspective to consider that a lot of these businesses are complaining about some margin pressure, right? If you look at the divergence between producer price inflation and consumer goods inflation, you can see there's a strong divergence showing that, you know, some of these price pressures that have been felt have not been fully passed on to the consumer. So what happens to businesses as they really go into the recovery, continuing to struggle, continuing to face production inefficiencies related to load shedding? So it becomes an issue of do those producers eventually pass on those cost pressures to consumers? And what would that mean for general inflation? What would it mean for general demand? Because less and less of the consumer or household budgets are available for spending or available for demanding other goods and services. So it's becoming a general problem. And obviously, as households demand less, being one of the being the single largest component of GDP from a demand side, we are very concerned about demand destruction in this current environment, given the fact that, you know, these elevated price pressures are going to, you know, households are going to feel the pinch from these elevated price pressures.
So, Koketso, with everything that you know we're talking about, we've given all of these different options, but surely, you know, from a monetary policy point of view, we had sort of discounted a little bit, you know, what type of wiggle room that they do have. But, you know, from a central bank point of view, what do you think, you know, the central bank could possibly do just as a way to help consumers? Because that's been their mission over the years, and especially during this pandemic time. And one can only imagine how much more of a burden that is to navigate, especially with all of these different factors that we are discussing for today.
We all know that, you know, elevated price pressures, even if they are from the supply side, which monetary policy can't really do anything about. They can't do anything about elevated fuel price pressures. They can't really do anything about volatile food price pressures. However, if it filters through to, you know, demands at the wage level, or even just inflation expectations in general, that is something that the Reserve Bank will be very concerned about. The Reserve Bank has worked very hard to move inflation expectations from the range around 6% towards 4.5%, you know. And I think that is something that they're not going to take lightly going forward. So if these elevated fuel and food price pressures, electricity price pressures filter through to wage negotiations and potentially having second round effects from the core inflation side, it will be something that the Reserve Bank wants to nip in the bud. So we expect the Reserve Bank to continue hiking 25 basis points at each meeting, just to make sure that inflation expectations are anchored. Should these price pressures elevate even further, there could be potential that the Reserve Bank hikes more aggressively, but we are cognizant that they, or we are considering that they will be thinking about the growth impact as well. As I've already mentioned, some demand destruction could come through from these elevated price pressures. So it'll be a very difficult balancing act, but we think that in general, the Reserve Bank will want to maintain or contain rather inflation expectations.
So that's been it. Thank you so much to Koketso Mano, who is an economist over at FNB, giving us some insight into what all of this stuff that's going on around the world means, you know, for the economy, because there's a lot that we covered today, mainly around the Russia-Ukraine crisis and its potential impact on oil markets. We've seen what's actually happening in those oil markets, and oil is considered to be a base commodity. So everything that's going on over there is likely going to be having a big impact on us here in South Africa. In addition to all of that stuff, just talking as well, just around the different interventions that governments around the world have been playing around with, particularly the US, when it comes to this question of where do you source your oil, given that Russia is a big oil producer, and what all of that means for oil prices going forward. Some of the projections that they have, she was talking about some of the scenarios that they are playing around, you know, what happens if oil touches $150, and in South Africa, you know, them predicting 24, you know, maybe even going up as much as 30 rand a liter. What does all of that mean? What type of wiggle room do consumers have? What type of assistance could government be giving, you know, to assist all of those different issues? And then just ending off talking about load shedding, because unfortunately this is the reality in South Africa, and one just hopes that we don't see another escalation in terms of the stages, because we did move from stage 2 to 4. You know, what does all of this mean? And, you know, when it comes to government, what can they do, you know, just given a lot of the pronouncements that they made in the national budget, and also at the same time, how can the Reserve Bank and monetary policy come to the table in aid of the South African economy? We wait to see how all of these different factors, you know, work together in the coming weeks, the coming months, because all of this is an evolving situation. I mean, we're literally, you know, just about the second year anniversary of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I remember when we got into it, a lot of people thought it was just going last for maybe a month or two, yet here we are, you know, more than about 23-24 months later, right? And one can think about the current Russia-Ukraine crisis in the same way that this has been a long time coming. When you look at the moves that Russia and Ukraine have been making over the years, one can imagine that resolving this is actually going to also take you know, a bit of time to actually work through. We hope that the actual fighting ends soon, but an actual resolution to all of the issues, all of the gripes that the Russians and the Ukrainians have, that's likely going to take some time. How is all of that going to affect us here in South Africa, and especially the sentiment around emerging markets? So once again, thank you so much to Koketso, and that's been it for today.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
This is unprecedented times. I think we used this term quite a bit when we got into the COVID-19 pandemic, and we seem to be using it once again as we deal with the Russia-Ukraine crisis, you know, right now. Once again, unprecedented, simply because it's been decades since we last saw, you know, a major conflict on the European continent. What is it all going to mean? A lot of people talking about the fact that, you know, we might see spillover into other countries, because as much as Russia is a huge country in Europe, Ukraine is also one of the biggest countries in Europe. So the two countries, you know, going at each other is likely going to have some type of an impact on the rest of the continent. What is that going to mean for the rest of the world? Could we find ourselves in a World War III? That's the big thing that a lot of people are wondering about. But for now, it's the oil price that people are concerned with. And the reason why we keep going on and on about it is because it is a base commodity. It's one of those things that feeds into everything that we do on a daily basis. Transport is literally at the heart of any economy, because goods need to move from A to B, and at the same time, people need to move from B to C. So all of that stuff feeds into, you know, almost everything that goes on, you know, in and around the world. So, you you know, as an input and as a base commodity, fuel is going to likely influence everything else that happens, you know, from here on forward, and actually stoke, likely stoke even more fears around, you know, the inflation woes that were already being predicted at the moment. We wait to see how all of this stuff is going to progress, but for now, we certainly hope that we don't find ourselves in the situation where we have in South Africa fuel sitting at 40 rand a liter. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.